I loosened my collar, but I still couldn't hit some of those notes. Started to stand up on the pew, but I couldn't hit them even if I stood up there. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and open to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Did you ever feel like quitting? You ever just throw your hands up and say, well, what's the use? You ever just throw your hands up in the air and say, well, I don't know why I should even go on. I don't know why I should even continue. Seem like everything I do just turns out the wrong way. Every direction I head is the wrong direction. And everything I attempt to do comes out in a mess. I'm sure that most of you at one time or another may have been in a situation like that, when the enemies and the situation around you seem more than you could ever overcome. And you throw up your hands in despair and say, well, I just quit. There's no reason in going on. Tonight, I'd like to bring a message and give you some reasons and some causes for going on. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, find a very familiar story. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. Go to sleep. I'll wake you up just as soon as the message starts. I try not to read a whole lot. I like to get into the message, but I come to realize without the Bible, I don't have any message anyway. So if reading the Bible bores you, you're backslidden, you be the first one at the altar at the invitation. Amen? Amen. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to battle and shouted for the battle. And for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper and of the carriage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion. Some of these Christians talking about being champions for Christ, you better watch out. The scriptural connotation of that word may not be too good. The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. The men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and will make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? The people answered him after this matter, saying, so shall be done to the man that killeth him. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former matter. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I imagine Saul had a good laugh when that took place. Here's this little boy came from tending sheep and said, now, King, you don't have to worry anymore. The deliverer has come. And the king said, well, that's good, David. Where is he? And he said, you looking at him right here. I imagine Saul's heart sunk down in his boots, and he said, well, we're in trouble. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. That's what they'll say to you when you start preaching. And he, a man of war from his youth, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lamb and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his army, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. And also he armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. David saith unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in the scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now listen, here's where it gets good. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? You got that right, bud. Amen. That thou comest to me with staves. And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give the flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver me thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Let's bow our heads for prayer as we begin the message tonight. Now, Father, we're thankful tonight for the saving grace that we have in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for our salvation and how good you've been to us and taken care of us in this life. We pray tonight the Holy Spirit of God would come and meet with us in a real way. Not just another message, not just another sermon, not just another Sunday night to come to church, but a service where the Spirit of God moves in a real way. We know thy presence and thy power to be here in a real way. Lord, we pray for you to come and meet here. We realize that all we do is utterly in vain unless the Holy Spirit of God works in this service tonight. We realize that all we can do is vanity. And that's why in this hour we beg for the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and work in the hearts of people here tonight. Bless everyone that's here. Meet their needs, and may the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up and exalted in all we do, and we pray it in his name and for his sake alone. Amen. Now, you know, the nation of Israel had came to a time when they were ready to give up and admit defeat. They were just came to a time when the enemies had been so great and the circumstance had been more than they could overcome, and the situation looked like a hopeless situation. And Israel was just about to give in to the Philistines and their army and surrender and throw up the white flag and quit. And then there came along a man named David, a man who was unafraid, a man who stood for God, and a man who, as you've read and known for a long time, slew Goliath and killed the giant, and when he did, the Philistine army ran. Now, after that, of course, the nation of Israel had a great time of rejoicing and had a great time of victory, but there was a time when they were ready to quit. You know why? Because they couldn't see any reason to go on, and they couldn't see any reason to continue fighting if they were already defeated before they went into the battle. And the problem with a lot of Christian people is the problem in their life is the reason that they're not in the battle is because they've been defeated before they ever got into the battle. Some of you tonight have let the things in your life defeat you, and you stayed out of the battle because things have happened in your life, and you haven't been whipped in the battle. You've been whipped before you ever got on the firing line. Some of you tonight are ready to throw in the towel. Some of you are ready to quit. Some of you are ready to surrender and give in to the enemy because the battle that you are fighting is greater than you can fight. Tonight I'd like to say some things. I wish that God would give me the ability to open up this passage and preach everything that's in it. But that may take 3 or 4 days to do that. So tonight I'll try to confine it to 3 or 4 hours. Now, some of you look like you swallowed your tongue sideways. You can wake up. I'm not really going to preach more than 2 hours and 59 minutes. Amen. Now, I want you to notice what he says in verse 20, and notice what, 29, notice what David said. He came to the battle, and his brothers rebuked him, made fun of him, said, "We know you just come up here because of pride, naughtiness of your heart." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And beloved, tonight I want to take the end of that verse and that there and use it as a title for my sermon, "Is There Not a Cause? Is there not a reason worth standing for? Is there not a battle that is yet to be fought? Is there not a cause that is worthy of standing for and fighting for everyone that's here tonight?" And I want to do like that song said, "Let his banner be unfurled, lift it gloriously high, and see that there is a reason to stay in the fight. There is a cause for every Christian that's saved to stay on the battlefield. There is a cause for you not to quit, but in the strength and power of the Lord to get up and go on for God." Now, the first cause I want to say is the cause of doing right. The cause of doing right. One of the greatest causes that David came for was the cause of doing right. You know what David said? He said, "It is not right that this uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God." Now, man, I love stories in the Bible like this. As the world says, they just turn me on. Amen? When I read something like this, it does something to me inside that I can't tell you about. It excites me, it thrills me, it encourages me, fills me, and sends chills all up and down me. When I see the whole army of Israel afraid to defy one man and the Philistine army, and when I see one youth and one young man come up and stand and say, "What's going on up here? What's happening in this battle? What's happening here in this war?" And they said, "Well, this Philistine comes out every day, this big fella named Goliath. Man, is he a headhunter? Boy, I tell you what, the Boston Celtics could get him, they could win every game they had. But he won't sign professional, he's a professional warrior. But they won't get him there. He comes out there every day and defies the armies of God and Israel." David said, "Well, hadn't nobody went out to defy him? Hadn't when nobody went out in the name of God to stand up against him? And nobody went out to oppose him and stand and tell him where to head in?" They said, "No, nobody has." So he went to Saul and he said, "Saul, you don't have to worry, I'm going to go. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to stand for him." Why? Because it was only right that somebody defy Goliath and the armies of the Philistine. Now listen, if you never have another cause or reason to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest cause and incentive and motivating force in our life is knowing that as a Christian, we are called upon God to do what is right in this world. We live in an age when people are not concerned with doing right, they're concerned with what's doing good. Well, if I do this, will it do any good? Will it help me out? Will it benefit the church? Will it make the church a better place? Will it give us more members? Will it increase our income? Will it do us any good? God is not concerned with a Christian and all of the good that is taken up in their life. If you do what's right, you will be doing good. Amen. We're not to be considered whether it's convenient. We're to be considered whether it's right. If it's right, do it. If you can't do it, kick yourself because you can't. Amen. We live in a world today, people want to know whether it does any good. Does preaching on the street do any good? Whoever told you you had to be concerned with doing good? God called us to do what's right. Yeah. Listen, the Bible said all unrighteousness is sin. God help us and deliver us from a generation of people who are so concerned about doing the convenient thing, who are so concerned about doing the good thing, who are so concerned about getting results and numbers that they've laid aside the greatest incentive for Christian people to live. The most important thing you have to do as a Christian is to do what's right. If you do what's right, you'll be doing what God wants you to do. Is it right to pray? Yeah, some of you have been praying, but we'll say it again. Is it right to pray?
Yes.
Then do it. Is it right to read your Bible?
Yes.
Well, do it. Is it right to witness?
Yes.
Do it. Is it right to tithe?
Yes.
Do it. You don't have to sit down and pray. Some things you don't have to pray about. All you got to do is do them. Amen. You don't have to get on your knees and say, God, is it right for me to read my Bible? Read it. David said, it's not right that this man come and stand. It's not right that he defy the armies of the living God. He said, it is only right that somebody go and stand before him and defy him in the name of God. We're not to consider the circumstances that are around it, and we're not to consider the cost that may come. Now, when you do right, it will cost you something. When you do right, it is going to cost you something. Nobody ever did anything that was right that somewhere along the line didn't cost you something. May cost you some of your friends. May cost you some of your family. May cost you some of your relatives and people that are around you. May cost you some money. May cost you some popularity. May cost you something, but you can have the satisfaction in your heart of knowing that you've done right. The greatest thing for a Christian is not soul winning. It's doing right. The greatest thing for a Christian is not reading the Bible, it's doing right. The greatest thing for a Christian is not witnessing, it's doing what's right. Now you say, why do you say that, preacher? Because if you do right, you read your Bible. If you do right, you'll pray. If you do right, you'll witness. If you do right, you'll come to church. If you do right and the Lord's called you to go to school, you go to school. If you do right, you'll treat your wife the way she ought to be treated. If you do right, you'll give respect unto your husband the way you ought to. If you do right, you'll do what you ought to do. Some of us need to realize that regardless of the consequences, we need to do right. Regardless of the cost, we need to do what's right. I like what David said. He said, it's not right that this happened. He said, it's not right that he defy him and nobody go up. You know why he went? I'll tell you a reason and a cause he went for. He went for the cause of doing what was right. Nobody else would do it, so you know what he did? He did it. Now listen, Christian, there's a lot of things in this world that other Christian people won't do, a lot of things that they'll never think of doing, but if we're Christian people, we need to be concerned with doing what's right. It's better to die doing right than to live doing wrong. It's better to die doing what's right than to live and do what's wrong. I'd rather drop dead right now doing right than live in a life and do what's wrong. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have to give an account for my life, and you're going to have to give an account for your life. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to want to know exactly what you did with your life. You have to give account. The Bible said he called those stewards up and said, give account of thy stewardship. Thou mayest no longer be a steward. One day God's going to call you in there. There are going to be a lot of mistakes that I've made. And there's going to be a lot of things that I did that I shouldn't have done. Now don't look at me because you're the same way too. Amen. Give me that pious holy look. Amen. You done one or two things in your life. Wasn't just on the up and up all the way, didn't you? You did some things in your life that just wasn't all the way pure and clean like they should be, haven't you? One or two things along the way. Amen. Amen and amen. You give account. But you know what? When I stand before the Lord, I want to know that I made every effort in my life to do what was right. Have you done it? Have you made an effort to do what's right? Have you? David went before Goliath and stood before him and defied him because the cause of doing what's right. Oh, wouldn't it be good if you suffered for doing right? The Bible said you're to rejoice and be happy when men persecute you for the name of Jesus Christ. For doing right, when people persecute you, you'll rejoice. And you may not rejoice here, but when you get to heaven one day, you may rejoice. A cause of doing right. A little girl got saved one time. Her daddy was a drunkard. She came home and told her daddy. She said, Daddy, you know, she said, I got saved. Her daddy was drunk and beat her up, bloodied her back, and bloodied her dress. wasn't long after that until she got pneumonia, was going to die. And as she lay there dying, she had her mother and father there beside the bed. And she asked her mother, she said, Mother, she said, the dress that Daddy beat me in the other day. I said, do you still have it? I said, yes, honey, we got it. I said, have you haven't washed it yet, have you? And she said, no, we haven't washed it. She said, well, could you bring it here? I said, yes, we'll bring it here. Brought in the dress and still had blood stains on the back of it. And said, Mommy, could you take that dress and cut out the back of it where all those blood stains are? The mother said, yes. The little girl said, I could cut it out for you. She cut it out and handed it to her, and she said, I don't understand. I said, what do you want with this dress got the blood on it? I said, I just don't understand. She said, well, Mommy, you know I'm saved, and I'm not worried about dying. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. But she said, I haven't been saved very long. And she said, I haven't had a chance to do much for Jesus. And she said, I want to take this piece of dress with me to heaven. And when I stand before Jesus, I want to show him that I had a chance to bleed for him just a little bit. She said, I want to show him that I had a chance to suffer and to bleed for him just a little bit. You do right, it may cost you something, but I guarantee you'll be glad. The cause of doing right, and not only that, another cause, the cause of defending our freedom. Defending our freedom. Now, do you know what they were going to do to Israel if they conquered them? They're going to make them their servants. Bondage. Servitude. They were going to put them in servitude, and they were going to take care of the nation of Israel and make them their servants. When David went up to fight Goliath, in essence what he was doing was going up to defend the freedom that he had. When David went up, he went up as his representative for the nation of Israel. He went up to defy the Philistine and the armies there, and the cause or the reason he had was to defend the freedom that he had. He wanted to defend not only his freedom, but to defend the freedom of Israel and the armies and the nation and the people that were there. When he went up and fought Goliath, he went up there and defended the freedom of the nation of Israel and those people there. The cause and reason he had for fighting was to defend the freedom that he had. Now I'll tell you a cause and a reason for every Christian to fight and stay on the battlefield, and that is to defend the freedom that we now have. I don't think it could ever be brought to light better than with Brother Herman Fountain and what he's going through right now, that the freedoms we have are real quickly just slipping away. Now you say, well, Brother Fountain did this and that, he didn't do this. Well, he may have not done things right. I'm sure he didn't do everything the way we wanted. Amen? He didn't ask you. Amen? I'm sure he didn't do everything the way I would have done it, and that's right. But when they came in there, they took away one precious thing that he had, and that was his freedom. And let me tell you, freedom is a foundation. It's a foundation. Freedom is a foundation for Christianity. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Bible said when you give a man the truth, you've made him free indeed. Freedom is a foundation for the United States of America. When the United States of America was founded, it was founded for religious liberty and freedom for every citizen of the United States of America. And any law that is made that goes against the freedom we have goes directly against the Constitution and goes directly against the living Word of the living God. We need to realize that when David went up there, he stood to defend the freedom that he had, to keep himself free, to keep Israel free, that they might worship and serve the true and living God. We need to stand, and having done all, to stand for our freedom that we have in America today. Now, what can we do to defend our freedom? What are we going to do? Some of us don't have a whole lot of money to hire big lawyers to defend us. Some of us don't have enough smarts to defend ourselves. Amen? I mean, we know lawyers and that. I mean, I got quite a bit of big words I could throw at them from time to time. deep theological things that I could tell them, but how are we going to defend our freedom? I'll tell you how you defend your freedom. You defend your freedom by using the freedom you have. When a country ceases to exercise the freedoms that they have, they will soon lose the freedoms that they've got. Now, you want to know why it's so hard for us to preach on the street? Because none of the other backslidden churches have enough guts to do it. Don't you know if every church that believed the Bible in this town was preaching on the street, they wouldn't think about giving us trouble for one second. The reason we're losing the freedoms we have in America is because we're not exercising the freedom and taking advantage of what we have. God's people have become a bunch of sissies and cowards that'll back off and say, oh, we can't do anything against this Philistine. Give us some young Davids who'll stand up, exercise, and defy the gods of the Philistine. Brother, we live in a world today where Christian people are losing their freedom because they don't exercise the freedom they have. We live in a world today where the freedoms have been taken from us because God's people have not stood up to voice an opinion. Preachers will not preach on controversial issues. Preachers will not take a stand and oppose things that are right. God, give us some men in America who will be prophets of God and men of God who will take God's side as David did in the battle and go out to the enemy and say, you may be bigger than me, you may be greater than me, but I come in the name of God to defy you. Tired of the world that we live in, the preachers that don't have enough guts to stand and defy and oppose and be against anything. Brother David went. When he went, you know what he looked around? He said, if they whip us, we're all going to be slaves. He said, if they whip us, we're going to have to take the gods that they have. David was a man after the heart of God. And he said, no, sir. You say, how do you know that? Because when he went, he told him he didn't come trusting his sling or sword. He said, I come in the name of the God of Israel, whom you defy. He said, I got news for you, bud. You may be big and have a lot of muscles and strong. He said, the fight, the battle, is the Lord's. Freedom, use it. You better start witnessing everywhere you can. The more you do it, the more people get thinking it's a common thing. If everybody in this town witnessed everywhere they went, nobody would think much about it. If every Christian in this town passed out tracts wherever they went, they wouldn't think you was a nut for doing it. If every Christian in this town made it a continual habit to worship God and to go to church every Sunday, to preach on the street and witness and pass out tracts, our freedoms would not be slipping away the way they are. Amen. But when they get somebody that does preach a Bible to them, well, there's a cult group. There's a nuts. Or disciplining them after the Bible. Well, those are some kind of fanatics. This country has turned their back on a foundation. Amen. That foundation is freedom. Freedom. Truth makes a nation free. Truth keeps Christianity free. The Lord Jesus Christ gives that freedom. Oh, Henry Grady, who was a statesman years ago, a fellow who one time was a great man in our country, was on his way to Atlanta, Georgia one time for a meeting. Rain came. It was in the days when the roads weren't too good. Roads got washed out. He was unable to travel. Big storm that night. Tree came over the road. One thing and another, and he went to a little farmhouse and knocked on the door. When he knocked on the door, a lady answered the door. And he said, lady, I know that you don't know who I am, but he said, can't get by. The road's blocked down here. It says pouring down rain. Miserable. I got no place to go. I was wondering if you might put me up for the night. The lady looked at him and said, yes, sir, we'd be glad to. Invited him in the house. And said, I don't have a husband. Said, he's dead. Said, just me and the children here. But said, you're welcome to stay here. Gave him a change of clothes. He dried out, one thing and another. And said, sir, we're getting ready to eat in a minute. We won't have much. But said, you're welcome to sit down and eat with us what we have. I stood and backed up by the fire, warmed myself, came time to eat, and said, we all sat down at the table. I said, the lady was right, they didn't have much. I said, the wife and three or four kids around there, I said, mean to sit down. I said, the lady looked at me and said, sir, I don't know who you are, and I don't know how you do things. But she said, we never eat at this house without asking grace at the table. I said, if you'd like to join us in prayer, I'd be glad for you. Right now we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. bowed their heads and prayed and asked a blessing on the food. A statesman said the food before we prayed didn't look near as good as it did after we prayed. And he said they really put a blessing on it because said it was good. And said we got done eating, said it. They went around their duties and chores they had and they got time to go to bed. And the mother said, "You'll sleep in my bed tonight." The statesman said, "No, I just sleep on the floor anywhere." She said, "No, you're a guest. You have the best bed in the house. It'll be my bed." She said, "Sir, again, we don't know too much about you. We know you're a statesman now. We're glad that you're here. We believe you're an honest man." Said, "We don't know how you go to bed at your house." Said, "We never go to bed without reading the Bible and praying." Said, she reached up on the mantle, took on an old big family Bible and opened and read from the Bible. Said, when it got done, they closed it and the whole family knelt there in prayer. He said, every one of them prayed from the mother right on down to the littlest one there. He said, never was my heart touched so much to hear a whole family praying together, thanking God for what they had. He said, I got in that bed and said, had one of the best night's sleep I ever had in my life. Said, we got up the next morning, had breakfast, had grace. She sent me a little food to send me on the way. And he said, I walked away from that house and turned and looked at it. And he said, you know, the day before that, I'd been in Washington and stood before the Congress, the United States of America. He said, the strength of our country lies here. But he said, when I walked away from that house, I had to change what I said. He said, I said, the strength of our country lies in homes just like this right here. Homes that have the freedom to worship God the way they want to. There's the cause of defending our freedom, and not only that, there's the cause of opposing the enemy. Opposing the enemy. Don't you like a good fight? Hallelujah. Now, some of you used to fight. Some of you old roughnecks, now it's time for you to get turned on right now. You ready? You ready? Some of you women used to be pretty good at it too, amen? I've seen girls fight. I'll tell you, somebody say, break it up. I was afraid to jump in the middle of them, amen? I never seen girls. They go at it, pull each other's hair out, one thing and another. I seen them fight. I used to like a fight. Of course, I used to like to be on the winning side as much as I could, amen? Trouble is, I've been down there looking up quite a few times myself. But like a fight. Some of you like a fight. David, I don't know whether he liked to fight or not, but I know one thing, he wasn't afraid to fight. He wasn't afraid to oppose that enemy. You know, by all rights, Saul should have went out there and fought that man. The Bible tells us that Saul stood head and shoulders above the rest of the men in the army of Israel. The tallest man there, the biggest man there. By rights, he ought to be the toughest. But you guys know that doesn't also work all the time. Amen. You better not look at a guy. Watch out for no quiet fellow sitting in the corner. Amen. He'll knock you out in a second. Amen. And he should have went out there and fought, but he didn't do it. He didn't get in the fight. He didn't go out there. Here comes this young boy. He said, Saul said, you've been worrying about this. He said, you don't have to worry no more. He said, I'm ready to go get him. Saul looked over at that little boy. He said, Lord, help us. Amen. Probably the first time he prayed when he looked at David and realized he was going to battle. But I'll tell you one thing. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid one bit. Man, it does me good to see what he did. He went out there and that old giant saw him coming. Oh, look at that little boy. He said, what do you think? I'm a dog. He said, what are you sending out here? Some little kid take care of me? He said, boy, I'm going to have your head. He said, I'm going to feed you the birds. David said, now you're done with your message, I got a sermon too. He said, I ain't afraid of you and everybody you got behind you. He said, I'll take you on, one at a time or all together. He said, I want you first, amen. That ain't in there, but that'll come out in the next one that comes out, amen. And you know what he said? He went out there and stood and he said, I'll tell you what, you come with a sword and a spear, but he said, I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel whom you defy. And he said, but I got a message for you. I'm going to feed you to the birds today. He said, I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. You know what he did? Brother, he went right out there with the enemy, stood face to face and fought him. And you know what? He whipped him. Hallelujah. He whipped him. Amen. And you know what? We need some Christians like that. Man, we need some Christians that'll fight the enemy. We need some Christians with some spiritual guts. Amen. Now, some of you used to have guts when you were young. Some of you used to fight anything that would move. You know, you'd get whipped, but you'd still go in there and fight. Now, why don't some of you take what you had in that old life, sanctify it by the word of God and the power of God, and ask God to give you the same courage for God that you had for yourself. Amen? Some of you wasn't afraid to make a fool out of yourself. Some of you wasn't afraid to go and fight in your own strength. Some of you wasn't afraid to challenge people in your own strength. Why don't you go in the strength of God and become a warrior and a fighter and oppose the enemy like David did? God give us some Christian people like that. I'll tell you, I've seen some women just much fighters as men. Amen? Amen. I've seen some women go right in the midst of a battle. I've seen women go right in there and rebuke people, tell them where to get in at. I know it in their place sometimes. I know sometimes they get kind of excited, but it does me good to see a woman have some courage. Amen? It does me good to see a woman stand up for Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, if you men ain't got enough guts, God will raise up some women to do it. Amen? If you ain't got enough guts to stand up, God will put his hand on a woman and say, that man ain't got enough courage. You do it! She'll oppose the enemy. God, give us some Christian people that'll oppose the enemy. Give us some that'll go out there and fight. Give us some that'll get in the battle. Go out on the front line. Go out and fight the enemy. Every man in the Bible that God used was not afraid of the enemy. Man, Elijah wasn't afraid of him. He wasn't afraid of the prophets of Baal. Went up on the mountain and said, we're going to have a contest. Said, we're going to have this thing here. We're going to see who's going to win. Challenged them head on, brother. All of them. Met them by himself. He wasn't afraid to buck the enemies of God. Moses went up there before Pharaoh. No swords, no spears, no shields, nothing. He said, the Lord sent me with a message and said, let my people go. Let them go. You know whose name he came in? He said, I am sent me. You know what? He won. He won the battle, amen. Wasn't long till he won. Wasn't long till the nation of Israel was free. Why? Because there was a man who wasn't afraid to oppose the enemy. And you know what? You may not get able to take on some of the big shots right away. Now, a lot of young preachers, they make a mistake. Well, I'm going to go out there and get the enemy. You go out there like thinking you're Dr. Ruckman or somebody. You've been through 3 years of Bible and you think you heard everything he knows. Say, you've been through his school. Well, you've come up to a place where he is. You get shooting at the big boys and try to knock them out of the saddle. And the first thing you know, they shoot you. And you're dead. Amen? Now, you may not be able to take on the big boys right away. But there's plenty out there. There's plenty out there. I like what the old colored boy said one time. Brother Reed making fun of my illustrations this morning. He'll like this one here. Two little colored boys looking at this colored boy, had his shirt off, showing his muscles. Man, a big old colored guy. He had muscle just popping everywhere. You ever watch them guys? Most of them do. Lord built them for a certain thing, you know. Yeah. You watch those guys, just like me and somebody talking one day in sports. They won't ever work out a day or nothing, come out there and just run circles. I mean, just go there. Lord knows what he did when he did it. This old colored boy, he's standing over there, big chest, big arms, biceps, muscles, you know, and boy, he's just standing there, and these two little colored boys, they're looking up like that. They say, man, if we was big as you, we'd go out in the woods and get a bear and grab him and skin him. You know what the big old colored boy said? He said, son, he said, the woods is full of little bears. Go get you one. And listen, you may not have the spiritual muscle that others have. You may not be able to go out there and grab a big bear and skin him right away. But the woods is full of little ones. Go get you one. Amen? Oppose the enemies of God. Not only that, there's the cause of standing up for the Lord. The cause of just standing up for him. Don't you like to stand for him? Isn't it a privilege to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ? Man, I mean, we got a cause worth standing for. We got something worthwhile to stand for. We live in a time when people don't know what it is to stand. We don't know what it is to stand. They don't know what it is to stand for what's right. They don't know what it is to stand for things that are clean and pure. We live in an age when Christian people stand for nothing and fall for everything. They stand for absolutely nothing, and every little wind of doctrine comes, they're blown over and fall by the wayside. You know why? Because they don't stand for anything. You know what? We need some Christian people who will stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil's crowd is not ashamed to stand for the devil. Ask the devil's crowd what they believe. They'll cuss a few words and tell you exactly what they believe. They're not ashamed. The devil's crowd not ashamed to blow smoke right in your face. Smoke old cigarette, pipe, cigar, whatever it is, makes me mad. Makes me mad. I mean freedom. That police came down a couple years ago on a street corner, tried to arrest us when we was preaching. Dr. Ruckman, he's doing most of the talking. I just better keep my mouth shut. I didn't want to get no Irish blood stirred too much down there, kind of brawling a little bit. And I just kind of sit back there, and I didn't want to get much going. And this woman, reporter, come over to me. Oh, that made me mad. Here she come wanting to interview me. I wanted to interview her, amen. I wanted to get a story from her, see what her story was. She come over and wanted to interview me, had this little tape recorder and put it on. Don't you think that you are infringing upon the rights of others when you get down here and shout and try to force this religion on other people? I was mad. There wasn't no righteous indignation about it. I just flat mad, amen. I said, every time somebody sucks a cigarette and blows that smoke in my face, here she was. I said, they infringing upon my rights to breathe. Said, I want to breathe clean air. And every time they smoke a cigarette, they're polluting my air. They're infringing my rights. Said, I resent it. Said, every time somebody cusses, I said, they're hurting my ears. I said, they're infringing my rights. They didn't print this story in the paper. Amen. Bless God. They didn't print that. She shut her tape recorder off. Amen. I said, every time they tell a dirty joke, they're polluting the minds of people. They're infringing my rights. I'm against it. Listen, beloved, we need some people who will stand for God. I want to stand up for God. When I get mad, it just helps me to stand up much more. Amen. I'll tell you when I want. We need some of God's people who will stand. Don't you think you're infringing on the rights of people trying to cram this religion down there? Oh, man, I'll tell you. Bless God, I was saved. Amen. I might have told that little hussy a thing or two if I wasn't. Amen. Some man bad enough, but a woman come up to me. Oh, don't you think? Oh, man. Old Chaplain Bourbon Street, I like what he said. He said, I got your name on my list, bud. Instead of ever backslide, I'm coming and cleaning your plow. Amen. I feel like making out a list. Amen. If I ever backslide, I'll just come and get some of them. Take number one and number two. We need some people who will stand up for God. Stand. The Bible said that put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take the armor of God that you can withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Stand, therefore. Can you stand up for God? You stood up for yourself and made a fool long enough. Can't you stand up for God and make a fool out of yourself for Him? Some of you stood up for the devil and stood firm, unashamed of your testimony. Can't you stand up for God, unashamed of what He's done for you? God, give us some Christians. We need some Christians who will stand for Him. Old Peter Cartwright took a stand for Jesus Christ. Great old preacher. A Methodist preacher and yet circuit rider. A fellow said he wore out his Bible and his saddle. Wore out his Bible from reading it and preaching it. Wore out his saddle from riding it to the meetings wherever he went. He came and they was having a big conference in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. And the Methodist church there got kind of uppity, upper crust, whatever it is. And they got kind of better than the common people. And Sam Jones, just a common man, common preacher. He spoke too plain for them. The Methodists decided they didn't want him at their conference. They didn't want him to preach because he didn't have all the rough edges taken off yet. He just crude and rude. I mean, just you couldn't have a guy preach like that in a dignified, refined church. You know what the people said? The Presbyterians said, if you don't want him, we'll take him. The Baptist said, if you don't want him, we'll gladly have him in our church every day he's here. Had a few of them had some sense anyway. Methodist said, well, if he's in such demand, we'll take him. And they took him. Brother, he got up to preach and he was ready to preach that night, and they made him about half mad. Because they wasn't going to let him preach. Brother, he opened that Bible and he got ready to preach. And about that time, the preacher grabbed him. Grabbed his coat and sitting behind an old Methodist preacher. He said, Peter. He said, what do you want? He said, General Jackson's here tonight in the service. He said, I don't care who's here. If he doesn't get saved, he's going to go to hell just like any other sinner. Just like that, amen. I mean, everybody heard everything went on. You know, whisper, General Jackson. I don't care. You know, I went on and preached the message. And after that, General Jackson came up to him. You know what he said? He said, "How about coming over to my house for supper tomorrow night?" Sam Jones said, "I'd like to." Went over to eat supper with him the next night. You know what Jackson said? He said, "If I had an army of men like you," he said, "I'd charge any enemy and fight him and defeat him." Amen. You know why? He had somebody who wasn't afraid to stand up. Last of all, maybe most important, there's the cause of saving people and saving their lives. You know what David did? David saved the lives of the nation of Israel and the people that day. The Bible said they went into battle. Instead of the nation of Israel being conquered and defeated and losing, they won. And many a life was saved that day. The greatest cause, maybe one of the most important in any Christian's life, is when we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, is the cause of saving people. Saving people. You think that day David went out there and defied, and when he did, thousands of people were saved because of one man who stood for him. You think of that. Think if you quit tonight. You just threw in the towel and went back out in the world. Many a Christian did it. You wouldn't be the first, and you won't be the last if you do. But it's sad. It saddens my heart. I get upset almost as much over that as a lost sinner. I really do. It saddens me. It really does. I've led a few people to the Lord, and praise the Lord for some of them turned out good, but not all of them have. And it makes me sad to see somebody who was once saved go back out in the world. Back out there into the mire, the dirt, the filth, and wallow in it again. Makes me sick. When I think about it, when I see it, just upsets me. And suppose you did. Suppose you died as a backslidden Christian, went to the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord called you up there, and you got your head hung as low as it'll go. You as ashamed as anybody could ever be. The Lord looked at you and said, "Well, son, daughter, you made a mess. You made a mess." You say, "Yeah, Lord, I know my life was a mess." Oh, I said, "It wasn't just your life." I said, "Why don't you look over here? There's a lost sinner I had just waiting. I wanted you to carry the good news to him. You messed up. You see him now? See him? There they are. They're down there burning. See him?" You say, "Oh, preacher, I don't believe that lost people will go to hell just because we don't carry the gospel to them." How do you know? How do you know? The Lord says that they're saved, we're a chosen vessel for him, to be used in his service for him. The Lord says, "Come over here, look here. You see that Christian over there?" "Yes, Lord." "They stumbled and fell on the road of life. I was going to use you to encourage them. I was going to use you to strengthen them and uplift them and get them back in the race." I said, "You got out. You missed it. You could have done it." Said, "You see these 100 people over here, robed in white linen?" "Yes, Lord." "Those are some souls I had. I was going to let you try to win them people. I was going to use you to try to bring them to me. You just left. I found somebody else to do it. You missed it. You could have had it, but you didn't." It'll be a sad day. It'll be a sad day for Christian people. There is a cause. There is a reason. When David said, "Is there not a cause?" Beloved, there is a cause. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I don't know why at times the Lord impresses a message on my heart. I've tried all week long to get something else ready and preach something else. But I guess the Lord knows what he's doing. And every time I have to preach, I just pray and I say, "Lord, you show me what you want me to preach. And I don't care what it is. As long as I know that's what you want, I'll preach it. Tonight, for some reason, the Lord had me preach this message. Maybe some of you Christians here defeated and discouraged. Downtrodden. This old world is beat upon you. The troubles of this life have perplexed you. And you're just about to give in to the enemy. You're just about to surrender. And like the armies of Israel, just about to throw up your hands and admit defeat. And you haven't even really got into battle. Beloved, there is a cause. There is a reason for going on. The cause of doing right. The cause of defending our freedom. The cause of opposing the enemies of God. The cause of standing up for Jesus Christ. And the cause of saving people. Don't ever lose sight of these causes and reasons. The times when you get discouraged and get defeated, I ask the Lord to bring them to light. At times when it seems like the Goliath of your life is just about to whip you, remember that David said the battle is the Lord's. Remember that he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is a cause, Christian. Get up and go on. And ask God to help you. Father, I pray that you'd bless the words of this message tonight. And I pray it would do the work in the hearts of the people that you wanted to work in tonight. Lord, I want to be like David, one who stands for thee. Lord, I want to do what's right. Lord, when I face any situation, just help me to ask what's the right thing to do. Don't let me look at the outward appearance. Don't let me ask what's convenient. Don't let me ask, Lord, what is the most appeasing in the eyes of the world. But Lord, help me to ask what's right. Help me to know what's right. Help me, Lord, to seek to do what's right. Lord, help me to stand, defend the freedom I have. I realize that as a preacher, every time I preach and teach the Word of God, I'm exercising the freedom that I have. Every time that I preach on the street, every time that I witness, every time that I pass out a tract, I'm exercising freedom that I have. Help me to use that freedom. Lord, help me to go out and oppose the enemy. Lord, at some times I stood like the armies of Israel and seen a Goliath. I just didn't think there's no way that, Lord, I could whip him. Lord, as soon as I realized the battle was yours, the enemy was defeated. Help your people to realize the same. Lord, help us to stand up unashamedly for you. And help us to see that the cause and the reason is that precious souls lay in the balance for all eternity. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. What number is it? 369. 368. The Lord spoke into your heart. I want you to come. Beloved, there is a cause. There is a reason for standing for Jesus Christ. There's a reason for staying in the battle. There's a reason for continuing to fight. There's a reason to go on for God. The Bible said that the Lord wrought a great victory that day because of one person who started. You may be that one person. Say, I'm only one, but you're one, but you might lead the way. It might be you. You notice how God will take one person and use them? He'll reach down and get old Dwight L. Moody. One man, he'll shake thousands of lives. He'll reach over here and get old Spurgeon and shake the souls of many a man. He'll reach over here and get Billy Sunday and Bob Jones Sr. One man. But like David, boy, went forth and realized the battle was the Lord. They put it in array. They started the battle. When they did, the Christian people just moved in like a flood behind them. Get in the battle. Get in where it's at. There's a cause. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight. You've been defeated and discouraged. You come. realize there's a cause and a reason. We sing 368. Wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? I wonder. Right now, come on. He's speaking to your heart, come on. Ago, we had a film here, Brother Roloff. I don't think I'll ever forget it. A lot of things he does, you'll never forget. The movie and the film, the things are good. But I'll never forget him. The burden that he had. I tell you, it just ripped my heart in two. The money, the property mean nothing to him. He said he walked through those rooms with those empty beds. Looked out his window every night and wondered where his children were. And I sat there and I cried. And I'll cry every time I think about it. I hope if God will let me. And I said, Lord, it's worth it. It's worth every battle. It's worth every lick I got to take for the precious souls of people in this world. May just be one or two here and there. May just be a life here and life there. When you touch that life for God, God will use them to touch somebody else. When you get to heaven, you'll share in everything, have part in everything you did. You'll rejoice together. Beloved, it's worth it. Man, if we get to heaven, the Lord call us forth and said, now you made a mess. You just fouled up. He'd look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Be worth every lick we had to take. Be worth every bruise we had to suffer. And be worth everything we had to endure in this life. Away with the crowns and rewards. The favor of my Savior is all I desire. To have him say that we've done good. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Man, it'll be worth it all. We'll look around for a battle then. We'll say, well, isn't another fight I can get into? I mean, isn't there something else I can do? We will. I'm seriously speaking now. We'll wish we had done more. The only regret we'll have is that we didn't do more for him. That's all we'll regret. We'll get to heaven. We'll be glad for everything we did, but we'll look back and say, why didn't we do more? Lord, if I knew there was such a great cause and a reason, I'd have done more. The battle's ready. The enemy's right outside the door. He's waiting for you. Just need somebody to put it in array. You ready? You be, well, you say, I'm old Goliath out there. You be a David? You go? Will you oppose him? Will you stand? God help us. As we sing on the second verse of this song.